Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
We'll continue with our sermon series on St. Paul and his adventures next week. We conclude the series next week. This week, and I almost apologize to our visitors today, but you've arrived on Stewardship Sunday, so we're going to talk about the money monster, okay? The letters with your pledge card shall be going out sometime this week, so watch for them in the mail. I'm reading from Mark chapter 12, and this is the scene where Jesus is teaching in the temple. And again, the temple was not like our church. A lot of it was out of doors. And Jesus is teaching out of doors and watching the people bring in their offerings for the temple. And there were these great, almost like tuba-like things that went from where the people were down below to where the treasury was. Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. I should say, when we were in Africa, they loved this story. They said, Jesus is happy if we put in a penny. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly, I tell you, this widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty. She out of her poverty has put in everything she had and all that she had to live on." And my next reading, I was going to use this as the text for this sermon. This is from Proverbs. "Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of your produce. Then your granaries will be filled with grain and your vats will brim with wine." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Do you know the money monster? He may not live on Sesame Street like the Cookie Monster, and sometimes I confuse the two, but he is real, and he has big teeth, and he is very dangerous, and I know him very well, the money monster. Now, I remember back when I was in my last year of divinity school. And on the weekends, I would go out and serve a local church. And my car was sort of okay. In the wintertime, I parked it on a hill. It was stick shift, purposely. So I could start it by running down that hill if I had to. I had to jump start it. But to be on the safe side in the cold weather, I would take the battery out at night and store it in our room and then put it back in the morning. Patty was working. At that time, she was teaching in Hamden, and we were doing fine. Then we went to Africa, and we were out in the very rural area. Even the regular radio came in on shortwave. And we had 3 hours of electricity a day. And that was mainly for, we had a school, we had a hospital, we had a major church, all on an 18,000-acre farm. And our services went out for about 100 miles radius. You know, 3 hours of electricity. Who would want more? There's nothing like shaving with cold water in the morning. Then we came back to the States, and we were kind of overwhelmed just by walking through a supermarket. You know, all these different brands of cornflakes and everything. Who would want all this? We found out who would want all this. We would want all this. You know, those color TV sets in the store were pretty nice. And those cars at the dealers were nice too. And Patty discovered Talbot's and L.L. Bean and MasterCard and Visa. The money monster. I think the head of CLNP, are you on CLNP here? Yeah, we are too. The head of CLNP, last I saw, makes $8 million a year. Lady Gaga, according to the New York Times this week, earns $1 million every time she performs in Vegas. LeBron James, with endorsements on top of his salary, gets something like $72 million. The money monster. The money monster. It's interesting. USA Today had a report on a poll that was taken. I think it was a Pew Research poll on the goals of 18 to 25-year-olds. And you know what the goal today is of 81% of the kids that were interviewed? To be rich. That was the number one or number two goal of the kids today. And they compared this back in the 60s. Do you know what the number one goal was of kids back in the 60s? To develop a philosophy of life. The money monster is very wily and sneaky, and he can change your values. Roger Gibson writes books like First Comes Love, Then Comes Money. And he recalls a time in high school when he had fallen in love with the prettiest girl in high school. He was a freshman. And he happened to be walking by this lovely young creature in the hallway as she was talking to some friends. And what she said was this. She said, "A handsome guy in an okay car is just okay. But an average guy in a really great car is a babe." And he said, right away, he began to associate love and money. You see how the money monster works? Distorting values. The money monster, again, I know that monster very well. And it doesn't matter if you don't have any money, or you have enough to get by, or if you have a whole lot of money. This guy is sneaky, and he's a real threat. Now, how can we slay this money monster? How can we keep this monster at bay? I had a friend who once suggested an outline here, and I'm going to build on it. This was Jim Kidd, who was an old friend. And the first thing I think we can do to slay the monster is actually just to pay our bills, which seems a commonplace. But a lot of people don't pay their bills. And I don't know, you must remember this ad a little while ago on TV where the guy says, I have a swimming pool at home. My kid is in college. I'm a member of the country club. And how do I pay for all this? And then he says, I'm in debt up to my eyeballs. Remember this? I don't know if, do they have delayed gratification anymore? Where you, I don't hear anything about that anymore. But in the old days, you know, if there was something you wanted and you couldn't afford it, you saved up for it, right? And I think as Christians, it's sort of built into us that we pay our bills. What does the Bible say? You know, if you're taking goods and services from someone, you pay for that. And the laborer, he or she, is worth that pay. Okay? That's one way to slay the dragon, the monster that's out to get you and has big, big teeth. There's another way to slay the monster, and that is to give to others. And there's an old story about two little boys, Seth and Roger, little guys. And they were with their mother in the kitchen waiting for breakfast, and the mother had the grill on and was making pancakes. And these little boys, like little boys do, were fighting with one another over who was going to get the first serving of pancakes. And the mother thought, this is a teaching moment. This is a spiritual teaching moment. And she said to her little boys who were fighting, you know, if Jesus were here, he would say, give the first set of pancakes to my brother. I can wait. And so Seth said to his brother, you be Jesus. You know, it's interesting. You get people like Mark Zuckerberg and Warren Buffett and Bill Gates. And they're giving a lot of what they have earned over the years to help other people. And it strikes me, you know, Bill Gates was actually raised in the United Church of Christ. That's his background. I think he's probably very secular today and not associated with any church. But when he was young, he got those values from the UCC, and you can see it in his attitude to what he does with all his wealth. Want to slay the monster? Give to others. Believe it or not, There's a woman, Elizabeth Dunn, no relation to Carol, who's a professor up in Canada. And her studies show that money can bring happiness if you share it with others. How to slay the dragon. Now, there's still another way, and you know this way. You can support your church. And in the second reading today from the Proverbs, it says the first fruits actually go to God. And it's interesting, you may have seen this. A lot of ministers did this over the years. Do you remember the banana? And the minister standing before you and slicing a banana up? And the point was, this was the stewardship sermon. The minister would slice up parts of the banana and say, you know, this is the mortgage. This is clothing. This is food. This is the kids' tuition at college, and so forth and so on. And then an usher would come forward, and all that would be left would be the banana peel for the church, for God. And he would drop the banana peel into the collection plate. First fruits, the offering is first fruits. The pledge is first fruits. Now, as I say, the letter with your pledge cards going out this week sometime. But there's something different this year, and it may cause some confusion. And that is, we're asking for an 18-month pledge. This is only once are we doing this. We're asking for an 18-month pledge, a year-and-a-half pledge. And this is because the council is trying to bring our pledging into line with the church's actual year. And in this church, we operate from July to June. And so the council wants to have the pledging in the future take place in the spring. So we're supporting one budget. This year only, rather than have two pledge drives right on top of one another, the council thought it would be best just to have one drive for a year and a half. The next pledging time will be the spring of 2021. But the important thing this year, and the big difference this year, is you're going to be asked to pledge for a year and a half. Now, this church is a great church. I was at a minister's meeting from 9 to 5 one day this week. And the minister next to me said, I don't know what to do. You know, the people in my church won't do anything. We didn't even have coffee last week. And when he was talking that way, I happened to be thinking about this church and what happened last Sunday. And you know, we left worship, and there was coffee and all kinds of goodies. There were all kinds of people making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And this is on a holiday weekend. There are lots of people making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and food bags for GWIM, the Greater Waterbury Interfaith Ministry. And the same time that was taking place, there was a stewardship meeting, and people were volunteering. They were coming forward to carry a very heavy load because there's a lot of logistics behind a stewardship drive. And even with Eileen out, before I got to church, we had volunteers filling the office for next week. This is a very healthy church. Those are all signs of a great church, a good church, and one that's worth our support. And don't forget, our search committee is very active, trying to find a new minister for us, and that could happen, you know, at any time. I think of Jesus in the temple, watching the people giving their offerings, and how he encouraged his disciples to take note of the generosity of that woman, that widow. You know, she had given her heart to God, and then the money came. And I would urge you, you have an excellent church here. Small, but vital and mighty. And it needs your support. Hope it to continue its good work. Okay. Amen.